The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. It's a beautiful day.
Aging works in different ways for everyone. It all starts from the inside. Welcome to Health and Beauty for Life with Dr. Tang and Alexandra. We'll show you how the latest breakthroughs in understanding how to balance and optimize your body, proper nutrition, and supplements work together to keep you looking young, losing weight, and feeling rejuvenated. Now, here's Dr. Tang and Alexandra.
Welcome. Good afternoon. This is Dr. Tang, and I'm alongside with my lovely co-host, Alexandra.
Welcome, everyone, to the Health and Beauty for Life show. Please excuse my voice today. I got the flu bug actually got me. After all these months, I resisted it. It finally hit me. But I'm doing much better and just now have a cold. And so anyhow, today we're going to be talking about, and Dr. Tang and I were thinking about our choice of topics this month, it being February, and most women excited for the Valentine holiday. So we thought we'd focus on men and women separate individually and focus on a topic that not all of us are comfortable talking about or even addressing to a health professional if they have some issues. And today we're going to be focused on the male, and we're going to be talking about male sexual health. And we wanted to talk about this for that reason alone. It's not a topic that everyone is comfortable talking about. It's not something that if there is a problem that especially a man will seek medical help for. And so Dr. Tang wanted to really give at least some insight to our listeners who may have a problem and may be a little bit more comfortable to address these with their physicians or even be able to contact Dr. Tang today.
Yeah, I think it's really important topic, and it's a topic that I personally, you know, in medical school, never really got training on this, and it was kind of a hush-hush type of topic. And it was never really asked upon, and we never really got training upon. So it's something that we just kind of ignored. But as research comes out more and more, we start to realize how important this whole subject is, not only for relationships, but also for health and wellness for men and women. And so being that this is February, I thought this would be a great time to talk about this. Now, as you know, men's sexual function is really something that's talked about, joked about. You know, we kind of understand this idea that a man's private parts, that's his pride and joy. And it really gives the man his self-esteem. Now, with that comes relationships that are either great or bad based upon oftentimes these sexual functions or dysfunctions. And as we start thinking about that, it also starts to affect a man's ability to have children or not. So this becomes very important for families who want to have families. Now, I remember in medical school that this idea was never talked about, and in residency, the only time we actually talked about sexual dysfunction was actually when I was actually doing my training in the spinal cord injury unit, which is basically where usually young men and women actually had a severe spinal cord injury who then suffered complete paralysis, and at that point was not able to have any function, whether bladder, bowel, or sexual function. And at that point, we did talk about some types of injections, some types of vacuums, implants, but you know, this is not something that really pertains to the average person. But when you actually go into the actual subject, we start to learn that one in 10 men at some point will suffer from either sexual dysfunction, but I'm going to actually call this erectile dysfunction. It is thought that maybe at age 40, that 40% of men will actually get this particular issue, and 70% of men at age 70 will actually suffer from this issue. Now, what is really erectile dysfunction? So let's try to define that so that we can all understand what this issue is all about. So erectile dysfunction is really defined as a man who can no longer get or keep an erection for sexual intercourse. So that's really a very basic definition, but it goes and explains and implicates many other issues. So when we think about this issue, you know, why is this? Why do, let's say, older men get more problems? I mean, that kind of makes sense, but why is that to be the case? And well, why is it that 40% of age 40 get this problem? So we have to understand the basics. So let's kind of, you know, without being so explicit and detailed so that people couldn't follow this, I wanted to just kind of simply explain that the idea of erectile function is really an idea that involves the brain and involves nerves and involves cells that make or keep the blood vessels relaxed, and it involves blood flow. So if any of those steps are interfered with, then you can have some form of erectile dysfunction. So it is a fairly complicated step process, and there are many, many steps that are involved. Now, when a young man actually starts to have concerns, it is actually sometimes a sign of actually a problem with blood flow. Now, if you actually look into the details, young men typically can have other problems. Now, in today's talk, we're not going to be talking about any type of psychological factors. Psychological factors today would be someone who's depressed, someone who has anxiety about sexual performance, or somebody who has kind of relationship conflicts with their partners. So these typically make about maybe 10 to 20% of all the erectile factors, of all the factors. But today we're going to be talking about these other what we call organic causes. So when I think about this, I think about actually first really testosterone. And testosterone to me is the biggest key. The other thing will also be nitric oxide. So before we get into those two things, and I'm going to spend a lot of time and focus on testosterone, nitric oxide, with some other key players, which are our thyroid hormone and with some other growth hormone and DHEA. So this is basically a discussion on how hormones and other nutrients really can affect erectile dysfunction. Now, in order for us to make this complete, we have to really also kind of, in a way, discuss other key factors, other possibilities. So when a man complains of having erection problems, there is a thought process that usually starts to be initiated amongst the doctor's point of view. They usually look at, for instance, someone who has any type of diabetes, hypertension, high cholesterol. This is a fairly common thing to do in a workup that when patients do come. Now, diabetes can definitely cause arterial damage, and people who have diabetes, about 50% of the diabetics, which is probably anywhere from 10 to 20 million of people, 50% of those men will actually have some type of erectile dysfunction. So there is definitely a concern, and this is something that has to be looked into and addressed. Now, other more uncommon things that can cause this would be anybody who has, let's say, kidney disease, anybody who has any type of, let's say, neurological disorder, such as someone who has a stroke or something that's called multiple sclerosis, anybody who has had previous surgeries, whether in the prostate or in the area of the testicles. Other things that you have to think about also would be, for instance, any type of trauma to the area. Now, for young people, one might also have to think about particular recreational drugs. So any of the recreational drugs could impair the blood flow, such as cocaine or methamphetamines. Also alcohol, when I talk about alcohol, it's going to be excessive alcohol. Tobacco smoking is definitely a risk factor. So someone who smokes is at least two times more likely to have erectile dysfunction. Now, other things to really consider are medications. And this is something that a lot of people are taking medications for various reasons. Now, we need to talk about this because if you are taking any of these medications, then obviously this is something that you'll have to consider whether it's worth taking these medications for other reasons or not. So people who take, for instance, blood pressure medications. Now, in this list of medications, there are a huge number of possible hypertensive medications. So basically anything that is considered a diuretic, which actually makes you urinate, any type of what we call calcium channel blockers or beta blockers. Now, obviously, if you're on these medications, you will maybe understand that you're have a potential problem. People who are not taking these medications won't even have heard of this type of medication. But pretty much any medication also include ACE inhibitors and what we call ARBs. So these are just blood pressure medications. So any of these medications are possible offenders to cause erectile dysfunction. Now, another huge list of medications that causes this is any type of antidepressants. And this is actually, in my mind, a fairly alarming number of young people are taking antidepressants for various reasons. You know, it could be some situational use or something that was brought upon by some bad situation, death, relationship problems. But they're usually started very... how should I say, they usually just started very innocently, but they become a problem as the medication is continued for longer than its original purpose. So any type of pretty much antidepressant medications, such as Prozac, Zoloft, Buspar, this may sound familiar to some people, but any of these medications can do it. Now, other medications that people may not realize that are over-the-counter medications, which are important because these medications are medications that many patients take, and that are any type of antihistamines, such as Benadryl, anti-inflammatory medications, such as naproxen, also things to reduce acid in the stomach, such as Zantac, Tagamet, or Axid. These are all medications that can cause erectile dysfunction. And pain medication. So a lot of the narcotics will all cause these issues as well. So make sure that if you have this problem, make sure you look at your list of medications because that could be the offending agent. So when we come back from the break, I'm going to be talking about really the real reason why we should talk about this and why does it matter to your health. So please stay tuned.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
If you have a child in your life with autism, there may be a lot of questions that you need answered. What if your child has recently been diagnosed? Or maybe you have a question about treatment that your child is currently undergoing. For answers to these and more, tune into Autism Spectrum Radio. Our guests will include parents and experts to discuss current experiences, treatments, and breakthroughs for those living with autism. Listen every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Are you living your vital life? One that is showcasing you at your full potential? There are many issues that stand in the way of most people achieving their full potential. We will discuss these issues and how to overcome them each week on The Vital Life, Awakening Your Full Potential, with host Dr. Carolyn Coker Ross. Living the vital life often requires that we trust our own intuitive voice and that we view illness or life challenges as calls to action, to reconnect with the deeper urges of our spirit or soul. Tune in Fridays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Health and Wellness. Health and wellness is about making lifestyle choices that make us feel good about ourselves. It's easier knowing what to do than it is doing it. Listen to The TAMS, Toward a Magnificent Self, Health and Wellness Show, with your host, Tammy Anastasia, M.A. Tammy will explore and uncover the answers to what gets in the way of our motivation. Through her expertise and occasional guest experts, Tammy will inspire and motivate you to make realistic lifestyle changes. Listen live every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Health and Beauty for Life with Dr. Tang and Alexandra. If you have any questions or comments, please call into our program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to johntang@rejuvemedical.com. That's J-O-H-N, Tang, at rejuvemedical.com. Now, back to this week's show.
Thank you for staying tuned. I'm Dr. Tang. Today we're talking about sexual health. We just defined erectile dysfunction, and we're talking about some of the causes, the traditional causes of erectile dysfunction, such as diabetes, hyperpressure, and multiple different types of medications. Now, I wanted to start the segment by really saying why should we care about erectile dysfunction other than the fact that it is actually very important for our health and for our happiness. So the bottom line is that when people come in, and it may be an appointment to an urgent care doctor, a young guy comes in, maybe in his 30s or 40s, saying that, you know, I do have a little issue. Is there something that you can give me? And the first thing they might ask is for a medication such as Viagra or Cialis or Levitra. And they heard about that from either their friends or from an advertisement. So this is something that should alert the doctor to start talking to them about what the implications of that would suggest. And the bottom line is that this may indicate that there is actually a possibility of low testosterone. And I wanted to talk about this matter because what has been found in the literature is that men who have erectile dysfunction are at much higher risk of having heart disease. So I was looking through this study. It was actually an Australian study that followed 95,000 men in Australia, and they looked at these men over 3 years, and they clearly defined what erectile dysfunction, and they listed all these different diets and health and other factors. But when it came down to it, was that men who had erectile dysfunction were 35% at higher risk for having future heart problems. And if they did have a heart problem to begin with, they're 60% at risk of having another a serious heart problem. And this is within the 3 years. So there are actually heart attacks, strokes, and even death related to this. So this is an indicator of a possible serious heart problem. Now, it's not to say that that person will have it for sure, but it's definitely a much higher risk factor to get this problem. Now, to explain the idea of this is that when they look at testosterone and they follow testosterone from its peak, which is usually maybe at age 20 to 25, what happens is that as the levels drop, men are at higher risk for other diseases. So let's just say the average level for a young, healthy male is in the neighborhood of 900 to 1200. As that level drops further, you will be at risk for other diseases. For instance, at let's say 700, you'll be at more risk of actually having dementia, actually. At 600 to 500, you'll be at higher risk, actually, for all types of death. And when you go down to, let's say, the 300s, this is when you'll have the heart disease risk factor. And as you pass that, that will get into the sexual or erectile dysfunction. That's when you get to that point. So when you get to the level of erectile dysfunction, you have already put yourself at risk for all these other risk factors, for heart attacks, for diabetes, for metabolic syndrome, Alzheimer's, and all types of death. So this is really a sign, as you can say, that there is a problem with the level of testosterone. So this needs to be really checked out. Now, what has to be also considered is, you know, why did this person have low testosterone to begin with? And when I start looking at this more and more, I start to realize that our food, our in terms of our diet, our exercise, has a great impact on our testosterone levels. And I start to think about actually obesity as one of those keys. So if you think of our diets, a Western, let's say, American type of diet, it is not a very good diet. And we've been talking about this over the past many weeks and months about how our diets have drastically become very unhealthy, and how high fructose corn syrup, processed foods, they all lead to essentially obesity. And obesity actually is caused by these particular items. And this actually has a negative impact on our hormone production. It has a direct impact. So it is often stated that, you know, someone who is overweight will have lower sex drives. That's kind of easy to understand, and you can kind of see that. You can see that correlation. But let's just try to understand it from a hormone perspective. And that basically says that as your stomach gets bigger because you're eating all this processed foods, all this Cokes and Diet Cokes and all this potato chips, let's say, our stomach gets bigger. And what happens is that our stomach fat, as we start to accumulate that, it has a negative impact on our hormone production, particularly testosterone. What happens is that the testosterone that we do have is converted by our fat cells in our stomach, because they have an enzyme called aromatase. And aromatase actually converts some of that testosterone to estrogen or estradiol. And that's something we don't want, because men, we want higher levels of testosterone. But what happens is that conversion actually causes the brain to actually decrease production, overall production of testosterone. It's actually what we call a negative feedback loop, which means that it starts to actually lower or tell the brain to make lower amounts of testosterone. Another thing that the fat cells also do is that it increases something called insulin resistance. Now, insulin is another hormone that is caused by an unhealthy diet. And by having insulin resistance, meaning that the level of insulin rises and we become actually so numb to the effects of insulin, the higher levels of insulin make us fatter as well, but the high levels of insulin actually shut off the production of our testosterone, because it actually negatively impacts the actual Leydig cells of our testicles. So it actually starts to slow down the production as well of testosterone. Another thing that the fat tissue also does is that the fat tissue produces a lot of inflammation. And you know, we talk about this in previous shows, but this inflammation is produced more and more as the fat cells grow. And this inflammation almost, in a way, also shuts down the production of the hypothalamus, which is the brain, to make more growth hormone and other hormones as well. So there are many, I should say, mechanisms of how our diet negatively impacts our hormones. And this is the reason why someone who is overweight is having a lower sex drive. And this is one of the reasons why when you have low testosterone that they are actually having a much higher rate of heart disease. So this is a very, very important concept to understand. Now, with testosterone, the other important idea is that testosterone also has a positive impact on the actual blood flow. Testosterone as a hormone is a hormone that actually causes relaxation of the smooth muscles in the blood vessels. So what that does is basically it allows for more blood flow and for an erection to happen. We need all the blood flow that we can have or that we need or we can have to provide for that. So the fact that we also have lower levels of testosterone also affects the amount of blood flow to, let's say, the genital areas as well. So all in all, the low levels of testosterone really have a huge impact on our sexual function.
Now, Dr. Tang, I did want to really quickly comment. You know, my I do still do some work in the emergency room, and I've noticed that these men who come in with heart attacks are younger and younger. So, in reference to what you're saying about these numbers being increased and these risks being higher when your testosterone drops, I can understand it better and actually experience by seeing these young men come in their late 40s, early 50s, having heart attacks in the emergency room.
Yeah, you know, when a man has a heart attack, there are many factors that are involved. So one, it could be testosterone. Obviously, you know, he could have atherosclerosis, which is caused also by bad diets as well. So you can have hardening of the arteries caused by all that inflammation in the arteries as we eat all this bad processed foods, let's say. And so you have that impact. And then we have the impact on the obesity standpoint, and then the impact on the testosterone level too. So, you know, testosterone also, by the way, is a hormone that helps to provide the important heart stimulatory effect that allows the heart to pump as well. So that's another reason why when you don't have testosterone, it impacts the heart, so the heart can't pump as much blood to the vital organs as well. So once again, you know, this is all about blood flow. So if the heart's not pumping as much blood because it's not able to, because it's weaker, then that's going to also impact the ability to get good amount of blood flow to the end organs as well. So there are so many connections there, and it really starts with the diet once again. Now, another thing also is about exercise. You know, we hear all the time that how good exercise is for us, how it affects the weight, it affects, you know, everything that we talk about. The one thing that exercise also does that I wanted to mention is that exercise actually helps in the production of nitric oxide. So, you know, we talk about this endorphins when people have a good workout, they feel like they have this high and they have this good energy from their run. And they say, well, my endorphins, I feel good when I get that feeling. And so we talk about endorphins, but then really the endorphins are really all about nitric oxide. So what we've been saying for the last 20, 30 years about endorphins is really about nitric oxide. So exercise or lack of exercise is another risk factor for erectile dysfunction. So it is important to exercise. And so this is another key component. So there's many, I think, levels in which exercise diet can affect this particular issue that we're talking about. So we're actually going to come to a break. And so when we come back, we're going to talk about what you can do at home, or what you can ask your doctor to order so that we can help you with this whole process. So please stay tuned.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Every weekend, take some time out of your schedule for New Reflections, featuring Dr. Adam Rubinstein. It's a show about all things aesthetic, from skincare to plastic surgery, health and beauty. You'll learn about the aesthetic products and procedures to embrace or avoid. Each show will feature live, virtual, interactive consultations that you'll be able to follow along with, and featured guests from the world of beauty and aesthetics. Listen Saturdays at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific, for New Reflections with Dr. Adam Rubinstein on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America Health and Wellness Network is here to help you on your quest to better health and a better you. We talk about everything from diet, fitness, and aging to substance abuse, personal growth, mental health, and much more. Learn from our experts who cover health and wellness from traditional and holistic perspectives. Tune in to the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Healthy living starts here.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Health and Beauty for Life with Dr. Tang and Alexandra. If you have any questions or comments, please call into our program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to johntang@resuvemedical.com. That's J-O-H-N, Tang, at R-E-J-U-V-E-Medical.com. Now, back to this week's show. It's a beautiful day.
Thank you for staying tuned. You're listening to the Health and Beauty for Life show. I'm Dr. Tang. Today, we're talking about sexual health. We're talking about erectile dysfunction. And we're aiming this talk mostly for men. But if you are a lady listening to it, it's going to apply to your men as well. So this is, I think, a very important subject that we're talking about. Now, as we talk about testosterone and nitric oxide, you might be wondering, how do I go and check for this? Now, this requires some testing to know whether you are low for this or not. Now, the most common thing that is done for let's say, a workup for erectile dysfunction is looking first at the other issues, such as diabetes, such as cholesterol, making sure that there's no kidney dysfunction or liver dysfunction. So those things are routinely done. What is actually not done very often is actually checking for testosterone, particularly in a younger male. So someone who comes in, a traditional doctor wouldn't necessarily think about checking it because they assume that this is someone who should be having normal testosterone. So this is something that I think should be asked for because, like I said, a correlation of low testosterone is correlated with other types of diseases such as heart disease, such as dementia, such as metabolic syndrome and others. So this is something I think that needs to be tested. Now, what you should be testing for is actually total testosterone and free testosterone, and if it's available, actually check the bioavailable testosterone. This is a much more defined way of looking whether you truly have low testosterone or not. So this should be checked. Other things that also should be checked as well is something called DHEAS, which is another hormone called DHEA, and that is to also look at It also has potential effects on erectile function as well. And not to forget thyroid. So a complete thyroid panel is definitely necessary, because also thyroid also has the capability of affecting blood flow. So what's really important in this particular test is the free T3, and that is the active thyroid function. So that's another one. And one more thing I would not have you forget is also the growth hormone. Now, growth hormone also has an effect on part of the pleasure part. It's the complete, it completes the full erectile function part. And so that is measured through something called IGF-1 and IGF-BP3. So this should be asked for. Most doctors, unfortunately, will not order, let's say, the bioavailable testosterone or the growth hormone. So it is often recommended to go to someone who specializes, I think, in anti-aging medicine or has a special interest in sexual health. Now, when you get this test back, the one thing that I always caution patients is really not to take all your normal as being the final answer, because oftentimes when a total testosterone is ordered, the level may be fitting in the normal ranges, let's say in the 300s, let's say, but to me that's really not considered normal. Now, in this normal range, for instance, it is an average of young people who are in their 20s to old people, and so because of this, there's a huge range, and usually this range would be anything above, let's say, 220 or 230 will be considered normal. But if you think about it, young men in the 20s with no sexual dysfunctions, their levels typically can be in the 600 to 1,000. So do you want to be at the level of a young person, or do you want to be at the level of an older person? And the answer is always you probably want to be at the level of a young person. So look at the level. Now, if you have the free testosterone, that's a much better value, because free is the number that provides you the greatest opportunity to see whether that hormone is actually available to actually be used, because the total testosterone is not a very good number in general, because it is actually bound to proteins and a lot of it is not capable of being used. So it's a combination of what's bound to a protein and what's available, and you just don't know what that is. So if you do have that capability of getting at least the free testosterone and total testosterone, that'd be very, very important. IGF-1 levels for me are also another important thing. And so that level typically would be in the range of at least 250 or above. And now that level, like I said, is only an approximation of the growth hormone. But at this point, there's no other way of actually being able to accurately measure growth hormone, because it's such a short-acting hormone. And so it's almost impossible to get a value on that. So we only check the IGF-1 level, and that is an approximation. So it is thought that if you check the IGF level, this is in reflection of the growth hormone, because the growth hormone actually stimulates the liver to make more IGF-1, and therefore we use it as an approximation. So that will give us some additional information. Now, when we look at testosterone levels, when it is determined that it is, let's say, something that could be optimized, remember, we want our levels to be higher. So at that point, we'll have to make a determination of which type of method that you want to choose. Typically, testosterone comes in creams or gels, which are topicals. There are prescription ones, one of which is called Androgel, or I believe Androstim. Testostim. These are prescribed topical solutions or preparations. Typically, these are fairly low in the concentration, so they are only mildly effective for the persons who have mild deficiencies. Anybody who has more deficiencies will need more. In our office, we actually compound something that's much stronger. So in a typical prescribed, let's say, Androgel, they come in 1%, or now they come in 1.62%. The ones that we use is actually 10%. So it is, let's say, 10 times stronger. And for men who need a stronger strength, this actually makes a lot more sense. But unfortunately, this is not something that you can get in a prescription. So we compound ours, and it can be made by pretty much any type of compounding pharmacy. So these are creams. You know, a lot of men get concerned that when they start testosterone, they'll have to do something more drastic, such as injections. And a lot of guys don't like injections. So these creams really make it fairly simple. You just apply it pretty much every day to increase your levels. Now, once you do this, obviously, it is recommended to follow these levels from time to time, and I would probably check them in, say, 3 to 6 months to make sure that the cream one is working, but also to make sure that the levels in which you're shooting for are within range. So it's very, very important to monitor these levels. One side note as well is that when you decide to go on testosterone, that it is important not only to follow up on just the testosterone levels, but also to check on other types of proteins or other potential side products that could be made. So what happens is that if your level is too high, the body starts to make, let's say, estrogens, because you have some fat that converts it to estrogen, or to DHT, which is something that in small numbers is not a bad thing, but in large numbers it could be potentially bad, in that it can cause male pattern. So these things, I would say that in my initial training, we rarely ever monitored anything, any of these particular values. So I wasn't made aware that those were important. But it's important to look at the estrogen, for instance, because if you have a high level, this is something that can potentially make the man more at risk for breast cancer. So, and the other one would be actually just having breast tissue. So you don't want this to happen. I don't think guys will want any added appendages, let's say, to them. So make sure that this is also followed. Now, one of the myths about testosterone in general is that the man's going to go completely crazy and wild and be very uncontrolled, let's say, in whether behavior or sex drive. And the answer is no. My answer would be that when done appropriately and properly, it does improve sex drive. That's a big bonus, let's say, of medication. It also helps with so many other risk factors for other diseases, but there's also so many other benefits in terms of motivation, in terms of self-esteem, in terms of weight loss and so forth. Now, what happens is that if you do get into a high level, you can always curtail this. So it is something that you can control and lower if needed. The first thing that you probably will see is that you might get some acne either on the face or chest or back. And that will probably start to alert you. Now, obviously, if you ignore these signs and continue to go up higher and higher, then this is where you can have kind of uncontrolled sex behaviors and rage, and this is rarely seen in a physician practice. What tends to happen a lot is that there are men who get this at the gym or on the streets, or they get online from Mexico or from China, and so they start injecting really large doses. And so these people you can kind of watch and sometimes laugh at, because you know that they are on something at least. And so this is when they have the problems. And I think we've actually learned quite a bit from these men who are taking megadoses. And we learned what not to do And this is something definitely I think should be followed by a physician. So when we come back, we'll be finishing up and also be talking about nitric oxide as well. Please stay tuned. Beautiful day.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
The incidence of autism has increased at an alarming rate. Approximately 1 in 150 children are affected by autism, giving autism the undesired ranking as the most prevalent childhood developmental disorder in the U.S. 67 children will be diagnosed today. That is nearly one child every 20 minutes. Autism One, a conversation of hope, hosted by Terry Aranga, illuminates how right now there is more reason than ever for individuals with autism spectrum disorders and their families to have the best hope for the brightest future. Autism is treatable, and given appropriate therapies, children are recovering. With well-known researchers and doctors, members of Congress, and expert service providers from a wide range of disciplines, Terry offers interviews and insights highlighting the progress in areas related to autism spectrum disorders such as biomedical research and treatment, communication, education, and behavioral modalities, sociological and philosophical issues, and legislative advocacy and insurance concerns. Autism One, a conversation of hope, broadcasts each Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Health and Wellness channel. Autism One, a conversation of hope. Through education and conversation, there is hope.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings of the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Health and Beauty for Life with Dr. Tang and Alexandra. If you have any questions or comments, please call into our program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to johntang@rejuvemedical.com. That's J-O-H-N, Tang, at rejuvemedical.com. Now, back to this week's show. It's a beautiful day.
Thank you for staying tuned. This is Dr. Tang. You're listening to the Health and Beauty for Life show. We're talking about male sexual function or dysfunction, and we're talking about, testosterone. We're talking about things to improve the male function. So I want to kind of finish up on the testosterone topic, and that is that besides creams, there are other possibilities that one can use. There are the injections that can be administered. That's something that I typically recommend patients using it once a week, even though most doctors will recommend once a month. I do believe that once a month is not enough to get the right proper levels. And so once a week is a much preferred frequency. There are other things such as pellets, and pellets are basically things that can be implanted. And with this implantation of testosterone, there's a steady outflow of testosterone that usually covers the person over a period of 3 to 4 months. And that's something that can be done for, let's say, someone who wants a better, steadier level without having to self-administer or be injected with the testosterone. Now I wanted to talk about this whole thing about Viagra, Levitra, and Cialis. This is not a complete discussion without talking about this. This is obviously something that is well sought out for. This is a multi-billion-dollar industry for this medications. And the idea is that these medications all revolve around this particular compound called nitric oxide. So I believe in the 88 or 98, the whole cycle of nitric oxide was discovered. And the three doctors who actually discovered this pathway did end up getting the Nobel Prize in medicine. So once this pathway was fully understood, these medications started to come out. So these medications really affect the blood flow. And you have to think of the erection part as having enough blood flow. So if there's not a blood flow, there's not a proper erection. So the medications, all these actually affect a particular enzyme in the blood that with this enzyme, this enzyme clears out nitric oxide. So when this particular medication is given, it actually blocks that particular enzyme. So in doing so, in blocking that enzyme, the levels of nitric oxide rise. And when the levels of nitric oxide rise, then there is actually more relaxation, therefore more blood flow to the area. So Viagra came out first, and eventually other medications, Cialis, Levitra, and I believe two other medications are out on the market as well. So these are, like I said, commonly prescribed medications, but I would actually prefer using something called nitric oxide. And this is part of our talk from a couple months ago. There is a possibility of actually taking a natural form of nitric oxide, which actually just boosts up the level of nitric oxide. So it doesn't necessarily affect the enzyme PDF5, but it only increases the level. So this is a natural supplement which has a great effect, I think, on all blood vessels throughout the body, not just in the genital areas, but throughout the body. So nitric oxide is something that can be checked. There is a saliva test that can be done. And if you are low in nitric oxide, you can take the supplement. Now, nitric oxide, by the way, is affected, once again, by diet. And this is something that if you eat a bad, unhealthy process, deep fried type of diet, that your levels will actually decrease. And so if you eat a diet filled with green leafy vegetables, your nitric oxide level will rise. And this is also a level that will rise with exercise. So everything's tied into that. Now, it is oftentimes also asked upon myself, can you combine, let's say, a Viagra with nitric oxide? The answer is yes, you can. So for men out there who are wanting a better situation, let's say, it is something that one can combine. Now, just remember that if you do take these medications, that you have to be careful if you take any other type of nitrates, because that can cause a bad blood pressure situation. So never take that. But with nitric oxide supplement, with these medications, it can be combined. Now, that pretty much summarizes what we're going to be talking about this week. Next week, we are going to be talking about the women's side. Women have similar issues as well. There are other considerations, but we are going to focus on hormones, and there are some newer medications out there that can be used. Now, interestingly, women do not have any particular medications, because it's even more complex. So there's not one go-to medication, but there are actually things out there that we'll discuss next time. So you have to stay tuned to that, so that you can learn about how to improve your sex drive and your function as well. So, Alexandra, do you have any last minute comments?
No, not really. I just wanted to just maybe mention that, you know, if a patient is seeking medical help, I'm sure you wouldn't recommend them. The first choice to do is to use these prescription medications. I'm sure they're not healthy for you. You would probably want them to go the first route, which was to get some blood tests. Is that right?
Yeah. So the bottom line is that it is, I think, very important to consider getting these blood tests because they can give us a better understanding of what's going on inside, because this is sometimes the first sign of something going bad inside the body. And so if you listen to that, you do want to go and get your blood tests, and some of the tests that we mentioned are very, very important. So please make note that this is oftentimes a warning sign for bad things to come later on in life. So we're about to close. Thank you once again for staying tuned with us. Please stay tuned next Wednesday at 4 o'clock. And please go out there and live your life. And remember, don't let life leave you. It's very important to remember that. Thank you very much for listening to us.
Thanks again for joining us this week. Health and Beauty for Life is heard live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Live younger this week. It's a beautiful-